Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
The powerful message of Peter, preaching the word. And how many know, church, that the word still changes, transforms lives? The word of God. Notice that the Bible says, repent therefore and be converted. You've heard many times that the word repent always speaks about a change of mind or a change of direction. And as I've always said, the word repent is a beautiful, powerful word because it always speaks about returning or a change of mind to go towards the Lord. And notice that the message, he says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Even if you are a believer, church, in Christ and you are saved, we are called to always repent. To come back to the Lord. I don't know if this morning maybe you've taken another route or been tempted to take another route. But by the grace of God, you can always repent. You can always come back. And it's just about coming back. It's not just about a change of mind, but it's talking about, notice that the Bible says, Peter, he says, and be converted. That there be a changed life. And anytime you come to the Lord, this is what you get, like it says, that your sins may be blotted out. But notice that he says, so that times of refreshing may come. I'm sure you've been there, church, or maybe this morning, you need those times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Maybe you're in a situation where maybe you don't see no advancement, you don't see a breakthrough. Maybe you're at a season or a time where you feel dry. But praise God that the Bible says, repent. And it says, so times of refreshing, notice it says, may come from the presence of the Lord. How important this is, church. The refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. It is the Lord himself that can bring refreshing to your life. Where God can do something new. Something fresh. When the Bible talks about refreshing, it speaks about a recovery. That's what the meaning means. A recovery of breath. Revival. Anytime there's a revival, the church comes alive. I don't know how your state of being is this morning. Could it be that you need a recovery of breath? You need revival in your own life. You need a refreshing that only comes from the presence of the Lord. It also means a refresh or being refreshed by air. And I know that I'm speaking this morning about the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. That's why the topic is named Times of Refreshing. And church, I just want to remind you this morning that don't stop going the right way. The right way of following Jesus, no matter the cost, no matter the persecution, no matter what they say, don't ever stop, church, coming back to the Lord. Because all of us here this morning, we need those times of refreshing. Amen. We need those times of refreshing. We need those times of the presence of the Lord. Because many times it's so easy to take another route. It's easy to take an exit that we know it's not the right way. But this morning, church, as the Bible says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is very important, church. The importance of obeying Jesus in order to grow in the kingdom of God, we need to obey Jesus. Hear me out. To obey Jesus is to have that responsibility that you say, you know what? I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am willing to yield. I am willing to obey the teaching of God's word. As the elections are coming, church, regardless who becomes the president of the United States, it should not change your walk with God. Amen? Because at the end of the day, we're grateful for a president. We're grateful for government. But our trust and our dependence is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, church, I just want to remind you, or if I can say, I want to encourage you that remove anything in your life that is blocking you or stopping you of going deeper with God. It reminds me of the word in the book of James, chapter 1. The Bible says in James, chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. Let me say, church, get rid of all filthiness in your life. And notice that he says, and overflow of wickedness. Notice that the Bible doesn't just say wickedness, it says overflow. Amen? So if there's any overflow of wickedness, the Bible says to lay it aside. Remove it out of your way. Anything that is in the way that's not giving you clarity in your walk with God. But then he says, the moment you lay aside filthiness, you lay aside any overflow of wickedness, notice that the Bible says, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Church, that's one of the reasons we have not been receiving the implanted word of God in your life and in my life. Anytime that there is any filthiness, any overflow, wickedness, anything that's in the way, you cannot receive the meekness of the implanted word. Why is this important, church? Because it's all about your soul. It's about your salvation. It's about your walk with Jesus. It's about how if you're walking in the will of God. If we are obeying the words of Jesus. Why? Because James says, which is able. Hear me what he says. Which is able to save your souls. So just get rid of it, church. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, whatever is in the way, get rid of it. Any wickedness, any filthiness, remove it. Because if you don't remove it, church, that's going to take over your life. It's going to damage your walk, your relationship with God. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Filthiness, wickedness will destroy your relationship with God. And see, once it affects your relationship with God, your walk with Jesus, it will affect every other area in your life. It can affect your marriage. It can affect your own personal life. It can affect anything that has to do with your walk with God. It can affect it. But see, that's why it is important. It's a responsibility. It's an everyday thing, church, that we remove anything, any hindrance that's in the way. Why? Because we want to be, like he says, we want to be doers of the word. He says, be doers of the word. He says, don't just be hearers only. Are you hearing me this morning, church? No, he says, don't just be hearers. He says, be doers. See, this morning we come, or we should, ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me. I want to be a doer of your word. I don't want to leave this place just be a hearer. I want to be a doer of your word. Because he says, because if you're only a hearer, if you're only hearing the word, amen. And many times we can say amen, we can say praise God, glory to God, speak to me, and we can just still be hearers. But he says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then he says, deceiving yourselves. So anytime that we're just hearing, but we're not doing, the Bible says that we are what? Deceiving ourselves. Notice it doesn't say your neighbor. It doesn't say your brother and sister. It doesn't say the minister. It says you are deceiving yourselves. But praise God, there's no deceivers here. Amen. Right here, we got nothing but doers of the word of God. Church, we are doers of the word. We believe the word. We do the word. We live the word for his glory and honor. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And back in those days, the mirrors, they were pretty blurry. They were pretty glossy. So he says, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself. But then it says, then he goes away and immediately, notice that the word immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, speaking of the word of God, but here's the key, church. Here's the key. He says, and continues in it. We ought to be a church that we continue in doing the word of God, church. Not once in a while, not when I feel like it. Not in a time of emergency. It should be a lifestyle that as believers in Christ, we continue in doing his word. And he says, and it is not a forgetful hearer, but he is a doer. Are there any doers this morning? He says, he is a doer of the work. And notice, see, everybody says, I want to be blessed. I want God to bless my life. I want God to bless my children. I want God to bless my home. I want God to bless my marriage. I want God to bless my ministry. I want God to bless my finances, my business. Everybody wants to be blessed. But you got to be a doer of the word. You got to be a doer of the word. You got to live the word. You got to have expectation. You know what? This is what the word of God says, and I'm going to do the word of God says, because if I do the word, I will be blessed. Because he says at the end, he says, this one, he says, this one will be blessed in what he does. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the doers. Not the hearers only, the doers. Church, may God help us that we be a church that we do the word. We believe the word. What we preach, we live it, we do it. And how many times, you know, we always say, you know, I want the blessing. I want the blessing. I want the favor. I want to be blessed. I want this. I want that. God is waiting on you to do the word. That's why it ought to be, hear me, it ought to be in the life of a believer. Anytime we do the word, there will always be times of refreshing. Hear me, church. That's why anytime that you want to pray, the moment you say, you know what, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in the presence of God. I'm going to pray. You better believe that the moment you say that, you're going to get texts. Someone's going to call you. Something's going to show up. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a temptation for you to stop praying and do that other thing, because that's how the enemy works. He's a deceiver. Have you noticed that anytime you say, I'm going to read the word, I'm going to read the word, I'm going to go deeper with the word, I'm going to study the word, I'm going to discipline myself with the word, I'm going to read it in the morning, I'm going to read it in the daytime, I'm going to read it at night, and all of a sudden you start getting sleepy. How funny. Anytime that has to do with the kingdom of God, the spiritual things, something out there comes its way. But that's why, church, we need times of refreshing. We need times of repentance to come back to the Lord. Don't wait on nobody, church. Don't wait on the preacher. Don't wait on a preacher on TV, on social media, to tell you they have to come back. Anytime, if you're real to yourself, you know when you're out of hand. You know when we're going the wrong direction. And when that happens, church, you got to say, you know what? I got to repent. I got to come back to my ways in the presence of God, because I need a time of refreshing. That's why we're thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that corrects. He corrects you. He corrects me. The Holy Spirit guides you, guides me. The Holy Spirit helps you and helps me. And we need to be willing to say, you know what, Holy Spirit, have it your way in my life. I want to walk in God's way. I don't want to walk the world's way. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul said something powerful. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, church. Let me tell you something. I know maybe, how can I put it? Maybe you're not a churchy person. Maybe you're not about, you know, praying long or being in the presence, or you're not about speaking in tongues, or you're not about, you know, listening to worship music or praise music. I mean, you do the other stuff. But let me tell you something, church. In God's kingdom, in God's territory, in God's house, our dependence is on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's on the Holy Spirit. Our dependence is in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not in my personal strength. It's not in what they tell me. The power is not in a book. The power is not in what I see, what God is doing in someone else's life. No, the power is in, it's something personal. It's something between you and God, the Holy Spirit. And that's why, church, that's why, hear me, He's the only one that's going to be able to help you in your personal issues and your personal trauma in your marriage, your family, your children, it is going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom of God, that's God's reign. The kingdom of God, that's his authority. That is God's sovereign rule here on earth. We get a little taste of that kingdom of God. But the Bible also teaches that it's a future reality. Even when Jesus in the Gospels, when he says, the kingdom of God has arrived, what would happen? People would get touched. People would get saved. People would be delivered. People would be set free. They would get healed. God would do miracles, signs, and wonder. Why? Because the kingdom of God was present. And let me tell you, church, that's what we need. We don't need just a building. We don't need, you know, just us being here. No, we need the power of the Spirit of God. We want to see people change. I want to see my life change. I want every person that comes in that they be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. People, drug addicts, that they be set free. Marriages be restored. Amen. That only God can do it. I don't want religion. We already know that we're saved by his grace. We already know that he's with us. We already know by faith that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We already know, we're already scheduled up every Sunday to come to the house of God. Church, but we want kingdom power. Amen. And that is the prayer, church, as a pastor, is that you leave this place changed, transformed, refreshed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you leave change. That God did something in you. That God woke up something in you. That you want to get home. Or you want to change. You want to do things differently in your personal life. At your home, you want to start maybe, you know, doing reading or seeking or telling people about Jesus. Or get rid of things in your personal life. Things that are holding you back. Things that are hindrance in your life. That because the Lord spoke to you, the Lord touched you, you repented, and times of refreshing came to your life. There's a revival in you. There's a revival that you're getting rid of things that you need to get rid of. That you know that without the power of the Spirit, that ain't gonna happen. That's the reason we hold on to stuff. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. But look what he says. Are being transformed. Let me stop right there. Church, if there's no transformation in your life, you better check yourself. Oh, you didn't hear me. We'll be more clear. If there's no change, hear me. If there's no change, if there's no transformation, check yourself. Every time you come to the house of God, it's not to look pretty and cute. It's not to show off the latest clothes in your worry. Oh, it's getting quiet now. It's not about your $300 hairdo you just got. It's about that. Every time you come, church, God touched you. He pushed your buttons. The Spirit of the Lord provoked you. The Spirit of God convicted you. And you said, you know what? I need to get rid of this one thing that I know that I'm supposed to get rid of, but I've just been stubborn because it makes me feel good. Because it's the thing, it's what keeps me going. But church, the Bible says that it's better to obey God rather than man. Maybe you got to close that one tab on your iPad. DMing people that you shouldn't. Church, no, I'm serious. Think about it. We're here this morning because I want a touch from God. And I'm speaking for myself. I need more of Jesus. We get too busy. We get so caught up in the real world that it's so easy that the spiritual things get out of the way. But this morning, if the Lord, and it's not if the Lord is, I know the Lord is speaking to you one way or another. Do like James says, be humble enough to receive the implanted word of God in your life. Because the Bible says, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. That's why we ought to be going from glory to glory. Church, hear me. The Christian life is ought to be from victory to victory. Prospering. Going forward, not backwards, church. See, we're serving Jesus to go forward, to advance, to go from glory to glory. Amen. We are more than overcomers. We're not in Christ, we're not supposed to be defeated. We're not supposed to be going in reverse. We're not supposed to pause. No, church, it's all about moving forward. Remember when God told the Israelites through Moses, he says, march forward. Why? Because there was a promised land. See, church, there's a promised land for your life. You didn't hear me. There's a promised land. There's a promised land with a bunch of promises of God for your life. Then they're waiting on you. But see, you can't stop. You can't quit. You don't want to throw the towel. You don't want to stop. You don't want to say, watch out with your language, church. Too much church, too much Jesus, too much activity. It's funny because everything else, just check it out. Everything else, work, 8 hours. TV, easy, 3-4 hours. Conversations on the phone with someone to get the cheese, easy, 3 hours up. I mean, but again, anything with the kingdom of God. Oh, it's all right. You might get offended, but this. You don't show up, or you leave early. Well, it's not my thing. Anything has to do with God. It's like the celebration this Sunday. Once a year. What's so hard about once a year to be here 2-3 hours to celebrate with us? Of God's faithfulness, his goodness, how God, through this ministry, through this church, God has done great things in your life. That's why we celebrate. We celebrate God, but God used this church, a new generation, to be a blessing to your life. That's why we celebrate. It's not, church, don't see it as just another service. It's just another, you know, church. No, this is times of celebration. We celebrate together. How God used different people to where we are today by his grace. And here we are still. We're still in the battle. We are going from glory to glory. Amen. There's been a lot of temptation. There's been a lot of attacks. A lot of things against the church. But the church, praise God, it's not ours. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. Amen. Because this is the house of God. We're just his vehicles. We're just his instruments. We're just people that God is using at this time. 20, 40, 50 years from now, there's going to be another generation. But in the meantime, we want to be faithful. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us for his glory and honor. Now I want to read one more scripture. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Times are refreshing. Times of refreshing. It's much better, church, to walk in times of refreshing even if you have to do it 100 times and you repent and you come to the Lord, is way better than not doing anything and just hearing, like James says. But he says, don't just be hearers, be doers. Even if you're struggling, even if you keep things to yourself, you don't want no one else in your business. There's only one person that wants to get in your business. That's God. And he wants to help you. Don't be stubborn. Even if you're struggling, you say, Lord, here I am. I repent. Here I am. I need your help. And God will give you times of refreshment, church. See, many times in life, church, we continue to do the same cycle, the same routine. But we will take notice that it's dry. Nothing is changing. Nothing is happening. Nothing's working out. You tried this. You tried that. Come on, church. I don't have to name. You've tried this. You've tried that. But see, a time comes where Jesus is saying, hey, I want you. I want to work with you. Don't worry about, so I want to work with you. Like I said, I mentioned a couple days ago, the Bible says, doesn't say you lost your first love. It says you where you left your first love. Where is it? Where did you drop it off? Where did you leave your first love? Notice, he doesn't say you lost it. It's you forsaken. Where did you drop it off? What happened when you were, those times where you were in victory? Where you were on fire for Jesus? You were on fire. You were faithful. Times of repentance, church. I don't have to tell you, or maybe I do have to tell you, but you know what it is to be in the presence of God. Everything changes in the presence of God. He can set you free. He can deliver you. He can heal you, fill you up. He can fill your cup to overflow with the Spirit of God. God, I mean, fresh oil, fresh power, fresh anointing a hunger for God, for the things of God, to live a holy life. And yes, a holy life. Because nowadays, everybody wants to replace it. People get it twisted now. Now they say, oh, that's too legalistic. That's not being legalistic. That's sanctification. That is holy. And that's one of the things nowadays that people, for everything, and yes, there is grace, but everybody wants to change it up for sanctification or to live a holy life. And I've noticed that in the New Testament, all over, it's all about living a holy life. Even if you agree on it or don't, it's in the Bible. And we need to come back, church. Your first love. Even if you think, you know what, Pastor, that message not for me, I'm on fire. No, there's more still. There is more. And the more you get in with God, the more he's going to show you. Don't get it twisted, because you get so busy with the church that you're living holy. We can be very, 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 very busy, involved with the church, but not live holy lives. But it's powerful when you live holy lives and you're involved. It's like how they say, you know the word, you have knowledge of the word. I mean, you know the old, the new, you know the 66 books, the 39 in the old, the 27 in the new. You know the old, you know the new, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic. But there's no power of the Holy Spirit. There's no power. There's just word. You have knowledge, but there's no power. There's no anointing of the Spirit of God. But imagine if you have knowledge of the word. You know the old, you know the new. You study the Bible, you live the Bible. But then you're open to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why, and I'm done with this, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, it had both of them. It had the law, the word. It had a power. The manna. And the Bible says that for 20 years there was no presence of the Lord. 20 years. Imagine you say, I'm a believer in Christ, but there's no presence of God in your life. There's no change. There's no revival. Let me use this word, because there's no excitement about the things of God. It's just dry. It's religion. We just come just to, you know, to commit. But I'm talking about church, change, transformation. You know, I mean, of course God sees it, but also people see it. That God has touched you. God has done something different in you. And that's what we need, church. Yeah, we always use, you know, we use God. God knows my heart. God see it. But you know what? At the end of the day, people got to see it too. People got to see it. I think we use that as a crutch always. God knows my heart. God sees. You know what? But at the end of the day, the Bible talks about your testimony. The Bible talks about your good works. Hallelujah. Now enters all of this. It's by the grace of God. If you're living a holy life, if you're on fire for Jesus, if God is using you, God is blessing you, God has blessed you spiritually, financially, God has blessed your business, your work, your ministry, it's only by the grace of God. Because even in your highest standard, we still come short. I'm going to say that again. Even if we fasted 40 days, 40 nights, we are still short. And it's all because of his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Please stand, church, this morning as we take communion. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.